racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
Welcome once again into the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. I'm Bob Bupka, here with Mr. Golf Geek on Twitter himself, Jay Randolph Jr. Be sure to follow him on Twitter. He's our main Twitter man. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, Bob. Interesting weekend with golf being played into Monday and a bunch of money and a big move by Tommy Fleet for the race for Dubai down in South Africa. So the golf world still keeping on track.
Yeah, and there's one other story. I don't know if you were privy to it, but I think it bears reporting on in the Grill Room, and it's about a player, Brendan Matthews. Nobody really had heard of him. He's playing down in South America. Has about a 10-foot putt that would get him into a playoff. There was a loud scream as he takes his putter back. He's put off, obviously misses the putt, and was visibly shaken, Jay, on the green. Now, he comes to find out that it was somebody that suffers from Down syndrome, who just not aware of what was going on and let out this scream. He actually was rooting for his man. The scream went out early. But the player made it a point to go find this young man, give him some autograph, take some pictures with him, really make him feel good. I mean, good golly, what better example do we need of how good the players are that play this unbelievable sport?
Well, and, you know, you had Russell Henley call a penalty on himself that cost him 8 shots that had him miss the cut. And then you see what happens last Thursday night on the NFL game with the helmet situation. Now, you know, it's nice. I think both you and I have always appreciated the gentlemanly aspect, the respect of this game. I say gentlemanly. I that doesn't mean to exclude women. It's just a term. Just a way in which golfers, male, female, junior, senior, whatever the hell they are, carry themselves. And we're very lucky in our game, Bob. There's no doubt about it. And we've talked about it before. The money that's raised for charity through our sport is far greater than any other sport going today.
You know, it's amazing, Jay. You made reference to female. About midway between where I live here in Houston and my blackjack oasis at Cashada in Kinder, Louisiana, there's a little round museum. I mean, it can't hold more than 20 people, but I've passed it hundreds of times. And this last trip down there, I was feeling quite despondent because all I could get was 22. I could never get it down to 21. I asked Janice, I said, why don't we stop and see what this Texas landmark is? Well, much to my surprise, it's the Babe Zaharias Museum.
And oh, wow.
Did I have an eye-opening experience? This lady was absolutely incredible. Not going to waste a lot of time, but I'm going to just highlight some of the accomplishments. I mean, unbelievable golfer, won 82 events. Kind of ironic because we've been talking about Snead with 82 and Woods with 82 and Zaharias with 82. But she also won numerous gold medals in the Olympics, played baseball, played basketball, was a real tough lady. She actually, a little connection to Jay Randolph Jr., believe it or not, she pitched one inning for the St. Louis Cardinals in an exhibition game. And just to cap things off, and don't feel sorry for her because she was one tough lady. She married a professional wrestler. So
George Zaharias.
Yeah, what a life.
Babe loved Normandy. She loved Normandy Golf Club. We have a picture of her and George teeing off the first tee at Normandy. My dad had the opportunity to meet Babe, and many people that still remember her will tell you no matter what, you know, it's between her and Jackie Joyner Kersee as the greatest female athlete of all time.
Wow, I did not know about the Normandy connection. Yep. I'm glad I brought that up. What a lucky man your dad. I mean, he obviously has met a majority of all the all-time greats, but having met the Babe, man, she impresses me.
He said she was great. She had a bubbly personality. George, as you said, was a wrestler, and he was with her, and they had a great rapport with each other. A unique individual. There's a great old movie with Alex Karras playing George Zaharis, and I can't remember the gal that plays the Babe, but it's a movie from the 70s, I think, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, I spent some time watching that movie. All right, let's move on. They played down in Mexico, Mayakoba Golf Classic, and I don't know. I actually dozed off, and then when I came to, I see that Brendan Todd was on top and was going to win. I said, wait a minute. Didn't he just win 2 weeks ago in Bermuda? Yes. Wasn't it just a year ago where he had the full blown yips and couldn't hit a driver, couldn't hit an iron, couldn't make a putt, and now he wins back to back on the PGA Tour? Help me with that one, Jay.
Strong. You do it once in Bermuda against kind of an opposite field, and you say, hey, look at Brendan Todd, he's back in it. But, you know, there were a lot of good players that ended up playing at Playa del Carmen. This is huge. It got a little shaky, but he did what he needed to do, and some of the other guys like Ortiz did not do what they had to do. Ortiz missed a couple of close putts. Hell, my buddy Adam Long from St. Louis ended up finishing tied for second. He had a couple of putts slip out. But, you know, we talked about the comeback for this guy who really had lost it. It's the first player to win back-to-back tournaments. Now, granted, these were two different type of tournaments, but the World Golf Championship, SBC Championship in Shanghai, and then where you and Janice will be out in Hawaii for the Century, that was Xander Schauffele. So it had been a while since we saw somebody win back-to-back. And, Bob, his last two PGA Tour starts are a combined 44 under.
I mean, that is just incredible. I mean, to come back from where he was, I mean, it's well documented. He was pursuing what he was going to do next. He misses 37 of 41 yep. cuts. He basically out of money, has no confidence in his game. And then this wonderful sport gives him an opportunity, and boy, does he take full advantage. I think what we should do right now, though, Jay, let's listen to Todd talking about the struggles.
Yeah, there's no doubt that, you know, my parents are generally pretty positive people. You know, we've never, you know, nobody in our family really has been one to focus on the negatives or, you know, just we usually would give each other a hard time if you're being negative or a quitter or whatnot. But I think a lot of it for me was just the self-belief I had and all the previous success that I'd had. You know, like I've told you before, I've won at the highest level of junior golf, highest level of college golf, and I've won at all levels of pro golf before I had the struggles. And I'd already been through a slump like that in 2010. So while it did last longer and I did consider maybe looking for other things to do, you know, I always knew if I got my game back, I would know how to play at this level. It's just a matter of, can I hit the ball between the trees?
Well, you always hear, don't quit, Jay. But that doesn't always, is not the best advice. I mean, as I alluded to.
Yeah, we've seen guys who probably should have put their clubs away.
Well, specifically, I'm talking about the blackjack dealer that was giving me a hard time last week. She kept saying, don't quit. I should
don't
have quit.
Quit. Right don't there. Quit on me.
Yeah. But it was a lot of fun. Anyway, Brendan Todd now, obviously, he's got to establish some new goals for himself.
You know, I think after I won Bermuda, I felt good enough about my game there and had enough confidence that I even said, you know, the goal is to win multiple times this year. I've never done that. You know, I think it's an impressive feat when guys win multiple times in 1 year on the PGA Tour because it is so difficult to win. And that's my main goal. I mean, you know, when I only had one win and I was struggling and even coming back, like my friends had 3, 4, and 5 wins, I was like envious, you know, because I feel like I'm capable of being a guy who wins 5 or 10 times out here, but I hadn't proven that. So to have the opportunity now to go out and keep playing for 3, 4, 5, 10, 15 more years out here and, you know, chase wins is a big deal for me and something I'm looking forward to.
And, of course, he did get a little additional motivation, Mr. Randolph. His wife made it very clear that she had no desire to be in the pizza business, which is what they were looking at before this sudden reversal in form.
Well, it is just a dramatic change. I mean, you know, it's really remarkable, and that's what this game can provide. As you and I both know, this is a game where you earn it. And obviously a lot of hard work and a lot of changes, and the confidence that he garnered, obviously from what he did in Bermuda and taking it with him to Mexico, huge. And you look at the guys behind him, 3 tie for second, the ninja, Vaughn Taylor, and I call him the ninja because he comes out of nowhere. He finishes tied for second. It's his best finish. It's winning back at the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am in 2016. The home folks were rooting hard for Ortiz, but it was his best finish. It was an interesting situation there, Bob, where Zach Johnson did not want to spend another night in Mexico. He wanted to get out of Dodge. So he's running to the 18th tee to hit his tee shot so he can finish. Ortiz is in the battle for the tournament, and Ortiz gets to the 18th tee, and Zach's, he may have already hit his second shot to play up with the guys ahead of him. Ortiz decided, I'm going to pass and not go until Monday. He finished tied for second, and I mentioned Adam Long earlier.
Yeah, I'm glad that Ortiz chose that. And by the way, Vaughn Taylor, who I happen to be very friendly with, on that 72nd hole, he had a 10-foot putt that would have put him into a playoff. And the worst, the absolute worst, when you have a 10-footer with everything riding on it, he left it about an inch short, dead in the middle of the cup. Vaughn Taylor is going to be seeing that putt for quite a time.
Absolutely. You know, it was an interesting finish. A lot of different kind of guys in the mix. You also had another Mexican, Abraham Answer, representing his country and his homeland. He is on the President's Cup team. He'll be the first player ever from Mexico to make it. Kuchar had a great final round until the final hole. He ends up the defending champion tying for 14th.
Yeah, and for the first time in a while, Victor Hovland missed the cut. That'll bring him down just a little bit. All right, time now for In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay to jump on our jet and spread around the world and catch up with one of our favorite players. The last tournament before the season-ending finale on the European Tour and the race to Dubai, it was the Nedbank Challenge, which is hosted by Gary Player down in South Africa. And our man, Tommy Fleetwood, won in a playoff. And Tommy Fleetwood is as nice a guy as you're ever going to want to meet playing professional golf.
No question. Tommy Fleetwood, with a huge win for him, it'd been 22 months since he'd won on the European Tour. He shoots 65 in the final round, I believe it was, with 3 eagles. Big day. It looked like from the get-go. Well, first it looked like Oosthuizen wasn't going to be able to play. He talked about withdrawing. Then he goes out and shoots 62 in the first round. And everybody thinks, well, Louis's going to win this golf tournament. Well, here comes Fleetwood and the Swede Marcus Kinholt at the end in a playoff. Fleetwood wins. And Bob, this gives him an opportunity now at the race for Dubai.
And he puts in his pocket $2,512,937.92. Tommy Fleetwood, let's give a listen to what he had to say after his victory.
The closer it gets to the end of the season, the harder it gets to look at, you know, stay in the present, do your things, concentrate on what you do best. And I'm happy for the challenge. I feel like I'm very ready. I mean, I might go out next week and play terrible, but you know what? It's golf.
So they got the DP World Tour Championship in Dubai coming up this week. 24 European Tour winners, Jay. Five have won more than once. Seven Rolex Series winners. 17 different countries represented. 50 players in the field. 11 of those are first-timers. Pretty big golf tournament coming up as far as the Europeans are concerned.
It's huge. It's their equivalent, if you will, to the FedEx Cup, what they've tried to do over there. You know, it's hard to believe, in a sense, that Bernd Wiesberger is the leader. But, you know, he plays over there. That's why it's somewhat of a surprise to see Tommy Fleet and Rahm there. But you'll remember Rahm won in Ireland at the Irish Open the week before, the Scottish Open before the British in Ireland. You got Shane Lowry there. You got young Fitzpatrick, Rory with a chance. The last time he won was 2015. I really don't know how their points exactly work. We're not going to get into it. But you know what? It's another event of great significance that's being played after the FedEx Cup, after the PGA Tour ends. And the PGA Tour has a tournament this week.
Yeah, and the defending champion happens to be Danny Willett. That name sounds familiar. Well, he put on a green jacket a couple of years back. First prize at Dubai, $3 million U.S. dollars. And, of course, they're playing at the same time for the season-long race to Dubai, which consists of 47 tournaments in 31 countries across four continents. It is a season-long competition to crown the European Tour's number one player. Going to be pretty interesting to see who gets that title.
Bob, you think about how much the European Tour has grown. I mean, it really starts to hit you. I mean, I remember when they started to go into the desert in Dubai and some of those spots. And I mean, you know, and when they first went to South Africa, I mean, this was a tour, folks, that back in the day was pretty much the European Tour. That four continents was one continent.
No, good point. The European Tour has really come a long way. They got a lot of great players. I mean, it's really setting up nicely, I think, for 2020 with Rory McIlroy back in form, Tiger Woods firing on all cylinders, all the young guys that we have documented over the last few months right here in the grill room.
You know, Bob, you got Olympic golf, Ryder Cup. I mean, wow.
No, you're right about that. I forgot that next summer they'll be in Japan for the Olympics, and prior to that we'll be at Herb Kohler's place in Kohler, Wisconsin. My old buddy Herb, yep. I'm going to be ringing him up very shortly, I guarantee you that. But Whistling Straits is going to be a great golf course for a Ryder Cup, and if you've never been to a Ryder Cup, boy, Wisconsin, right in the middle of the United States. It is a friendly place to go. Maybe start making plans to attend this 2020 Ryder Cup. I think it's going to be a good one.
and a very non-traditional American-style golf course that they'll be playing in that Ryder Cup. Keep that in mind. Well, this week, the tour, Bob, it ends the fall portion of the wraparound season down at where Davis Love Golf designed Sea Islands Plantation course. This ought to be, you know, a lot of guys play here. A lot of guys, it's a home week. A lot of guys live down there, work with instructors down there. You got Kisner, who won in 2015. Charles Howell III and Davis Love III are paired together. Young Lanto Griffin, along with Brendan Todd, trying to make it three in a row with Keith Mitchell, who lives at Sea Island. Kuchar, who, you know, continues 14th last week. Zach Giants Johnson, another Sea Island guy like Kuchar, with Billy Ho. You know, this is the end of the year and the final event, if you will, for these guys in 2019. But they get a good feel for this tournament.
Yeah, Charles Howell, after a long drought last year, finally got back into the winner's circle, as class an act as there is out there. Let me run something up the Jay Randolph radar screen right now, Jay. And, you know, we haven't gotten any definitive reports from Brooks Koepka. My question to you, Jay, is if Brooks decides that he's going to be a no-go for the President's Cup, who do you think Tiger Woods will tap on the shoulder and ask to be asked to come on the team?
That's a great question. I don't know. I don't know whether he would go and say, you know what, let's throw Phil in for one more time. Or does he really take into consideration the last couple of weeks? If Brendan Todd has a top 10 and goes win top 10 to finish the schedule for 2019, he's the hottest guy on the tour.
Yeah, that's a good point there. I would think that if he wins three in a row, he would get nod. A couple of other names I think that Tiger would have to take a hard, long look at, Jay. One being my good buddy Kevin Kisner with Dwayne Bach as his caddy. And then Kevin Na, who's as gritty a competitor as you're ever going to find. I wouldn't mind having Kevin Na play for the United States. I don't think we'd be hurt at all with him in one of those uniforms.
And those two cats have known each other dating back to the Cypress, California days when they were kids. That's an interesting name you bring up, because a fiery type of guy that's probably either going to play real well or not so well. That's kind of always been the MO of him, even though he's gotten more consistent. But, you know, Kiz, no question, would certainly have to get a look. It'll be interesting to see. It has been scarily quiet on the Brooks Koepka front. Well, now you're up to date with the tournament news from around the world of golf. And after a short break, we're going to hear from Mike Thompson, who founded RX.Golf, a unique way to help to fund junior golf, and that's what we need to do. But meanwhile, it's time for Bob to tell you about one of his favorite places in the world. Their official accommodations, our official accommodations, for the In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay team during the January Tournament of Champions. Bob, tell them all about it.
The Capilor Villas Maui is the official hotel partner of the Grill Room Golf Show during the Century Tournament of Champions, held each January at the Plantation Course. Yes, I know it's snowing in some parts of the U.S. Yes, I know it's cold and miserable. And yes, we thought you might like to hear from General Manager Bill Reese on the advantages of choosing Capilor Villas Maui for your next vacation.
got the weather, we've got the beach, we've got the golf course, we've got the palm trees, we have properties facing the golf course, if that's your cup of tea, where you can actually watch the golfers on the fairway. We have properties in the Ridge, which is high on the hill, so you can get a very panoramic ocean view of Molokai and the tropical environment. And also we have the Bay Villas, which are right down by the Onaloa Bay, which is oceanfront. Fully equipped kitchens in every condo, washer, dryer, and there is a refrigerator, freezer, so you can have that ice cream at midnight without having to go out. We've got the friendly people and the aloha. There's not much more you could ask for.
Time to welcome in the Grill Room, Mike Thompson. And reading Mike's bio, a lot of things in common. He's been in the broadcasting business, actually served in the United States Air Force, which I did also. And he has come up with something that really has me excited, rx.golf. Mike Thompson is on the line with us right now. Mike, let me begin by asking you, why did you create RX Golf?
Well, I played the tour back in the late 60s and wasn't very successful at it. Got into broadcasting and got very, very lucky in that regard. And then later on in life, I played the senior tour back in the 90s for 3 years. But more importantly, it's everything that I've accomplished is I was accomplished through my relationships on the golf course. And because it's a great place to, you know, meet people, get to know them. You know, if a guy rolls the ball in the rough while you're playing and without acknowledging that he did it, you know, you got to start thinking about how you want to, what kind of relationship could this end up being? Every business that I have, we give back to either charities and or to worthy causes. And to me, there's no greater cause right now than junior golf. And, you know, I created the rx.golf just about 6 months ago. And I just thought that if we could get the golf community behind junior golf in a major way, and then it would be worthwhile for us to give a significant portion of our revenue back to those junior golf programs across the country. The program is free. There's no cost. When you get your card, you get to give the location that you want the money to go to. And, you know, that's just the way I've always operated. And so I was blessed. My family was very poor. I ended up being a pretty good little golfer as a young man, and it opened a lot of doors for me because my dad did teach me the proper etiquette, you know, how to comport yourself on the golf course, which I think is extremely important.
Well, you're preaching to the choir here, Mike, because it's been a sport of a lifetime for me. It's been my career broadcasting golf, and I'm just thrilled to become aware of your program. Basically, what we're talking about are people are going to be able to save a little bit of money on their prescriptions when they go to the pharmacy, and on top of that, they're going to be able to designate which area of junior golf that they would like to benefit. I mean, to me, that's a win-win.
Well, that is our mission, and junior golf is extremely important. I think everybody who plays golf, you know, as I said, the program is free. Even if you have insurance, I had insurance. I'm in my 70s, and I had, you know, my Medicare, and I had my RX program, and someone gave me a card 3 years ago and said, you know, why don't you use this card? And I took it to the pharmacist and I gave the lady the card and she goes, well, the price will be this. And I said, that can't be right. That's half the price. And she said, there's a lot of people use these prescription savings cards. I knew nothing about it. So that's the program. And so
we're speaking with Mike Thompson. And for our listeners that want to get more information, they can go to your website, which is www.rx.golf. And I also understand there's a RX app that they can get to use when they go to the pharmacy?
That's right. They can download an app right on their phone from the website.
Fantastic, Mike. I'm very excited about this, helping junior golf, keeping this sport alive. And the strangest thing, and I've said this repeatedly, when you introduce a youngster to junior golf, more likely than not, that youngster is going to end up playing that sport the rest of his life. Very few are going to play it as well as you did, being on the PGA Tour and the Champions Tour. But still, it really doesn't matter how well you play, as long as you play the game and have enjoyment and the social aspects, the physical aspects. I appreciate your time this morning, Mike Thompson. Let's keep up the good work, and we're going to do our part to promote this so that we can get more monies to junior golf programs around the country. Thanks for your time, Mike.
Thank you, Bob.
Well, it's always great to hear about ways to try and get junior golf or the opportunities for junior golfers to play the game to help grow the game. We thank Mike for what he's doing. Now, when we return, it'll be time to hear from Alex Maselli.
Don't forget, if you'd like to drop us a line or give us your thoughts or opinion on the show, we'd love to hear from you. We're talking about contacting us via Twitter. I'm STL Golf Geek on Twitter, while Bob, the VOG, the voice of golf, Bob Bubka, VOG. Check us out on Twitter.
You're listening to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay, and we're heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, Stitcher, iTunes, Audio Boom, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or you could just ask your smart speaker Alexa, and you'll be connected.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at the Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
It's that time in the Grill Room with Bob and Jay to welcome in an old friend, one of the pioneers of In the Grill Room, Alex Maselli, founder and publisher of Morning Read. Alex, thanks for taking some time. And what I want to begin with, Alex, you know, what we're witnessing over the last couple of weeks, this Brendan Todd basically coming from ashes to win back-to-back on the PGA Tour. I mean, you've been around this game a long time. You've covered it for a long time. Can you shed a little light for our listeners on the magnitude of what he's accomplished?
Well, I mean, I think if you look at it from a fan standpoint, it is pretty it's pretty unrealistic, actually. When you think about the amount of players that win back-to-back on the PGA Tour, or even ones that maybe win on the European Tour and then show up on the PGA Tour the following week, it's a very, very, very small sample size. Then when you think about the fact that here's a guy that really had no game. Well, I think at the U.S. Open, after the U.S. Open last year, he was over 1,000 in the world rankings. Now, after the win in Mexico, he's 83rd. That's a pretty big jump in less than 6 months. So, you know, that in itself, then I'm sure, and people don't talk a lot about this part of it, but he's won over $2 million, basically, in these wins. And when you think about, he was sometime this year, or maybe a little earlier, he was thinking about what he was going to do with himself and how he was going to make a living, because he's not that young, and not that old, rather. Then all of a sudden, somebody plops $2 million in your pocket. So there's a lot that has changed for Brendan Todd. There's no question. But I find it interesting, too, when you think about it, Bobby, those two wins, neither of them came in North America.
Yeah, that's a good point. Maybe he should join the European Tour.
Yeah, I'm exempting Mexico from North America, and probably people would say, well, that's not true. And certainly the Bermuda is not in North America per se. So, but it's funny that, you know, he makes these two wins, and they're two completely different golf courses. Obviously, one where you can probably hit the ball around a little more. You have a little more room to work with. But the course in Mexico is a much narrower golf course and a much more, I think, difficult golf course. So for him to turn around and do what he's done in these 2 weeks is clearly phenomenal, and you don't need me to say that, because I think anybody that's been watching golf can understand that.
Well, one other thing, though, Alex, along those lines, you know, it's well documented that he suffered from the yips, and normally the yips will eliminate anybody from playing the sport of golf, because they're just so horrific when you're afflicted. But it's got to be very obvious that he had the talent to play this game before the yips occurred. I mean, he did win the Byron Nelson back in 2014. It wasn't like he just suddenly discovered the ability to play the game. It's more like he discovered his old ability to play the game.
Well, as you know, Bobby, that playing at a high level, as you require on the PGA Tour, generally is in between your ears. And if somehow, some way, you can fix whatever ails you there, you should be okay, especially if you've had a career on the PGA Tour. I mean, it's much harder to get on the PGA Tour than it is to stay on the PGA Tour. And once you're on that tour, you know, it's all about you versus all the other guys. Even though it's an individual game, it's all about you against the other guys. And you gotta let certain things not bother you. And at the same time, you need to go about your own business. And at some point, Brendan Todd figured it out that he needed to go about his own business, and seems to figure it out in a big way. And it'd be interesting to see what happens in 2020, because, you know, now he's playing at a high level and being successful. And I think it's fair to say that both fields were good fields, or medium fields. They're not the best fields you're going to see on day out basis on the PGA Tour, but they're pretty good fields. Once he gets into the mix at a deeper event, it'll be interesting to see what Brendan Todd does.
Well, let's switch gears for a moment. We're talking with Alex Maselli, founder, publisher of Morning Read. And let me pose this question to you, and you may have even some insight. Not much has been heard from the Brooks Koepka camp on the nature of his injury. He hurt his knee, we know that. But really, I have not, maybe you have, had any reports on his recovery. My question is, if he's unable to go, if he calls Tiger and says, Tiger, I can't make it, who does Tiger pick?
Well, first of all, I don't have any knowledge other than what you've talked about. I don't really have any more than you have. I would presume that Tiger and his camp, however you want to look at it, if I'm Koepka, quite honestly, knowing that my knee needs some time, I don't go to the President's Cup. I don't make the trip all the way down to Australia. I just don't see how that makes any sense for him. It doesn't play into the scenario of him being ready to go in 2020. You know, last year at this time, he was playing in the Dunlop Phoenix. I don't know if he would have considered, or if he was thinking about playing Dunlop or not in Japan, but that's this week, and clearly he's not. He's not at RSM, which means now there's nothing in between him and the President's Cup except for playing at Hero, which, again, I would assume that he wouldn't do. I would assume that at this point, Brooks Koepka is going to shut it down for the rest of the year. So if that's the case, who does he pick? Well, that's a difficult question, because clearly Tiger needed to pick himself. I think the picks that he made with Woodland and Finau made sense. And then obviously, you know, picking Patrick Reed. But I can't get my arms around Ricky Fowler. And I think if I was going to make a pick at this point late in the game, I think it'd be Kevin Kisner.
What about Kevin Na?
You know, I just don't, I'm not saying I wouldn't pick him, because I would, but I just don't think that's Tiger's pick. I think he wants to pick someone else. I think he wants to pick somebody he knows better, and Kisner he does know better. So I think he would just do that. I would assume as well, though, Bobby, whoever he does pick, considering the timing and everything that's involved, I would think that person's not going to play that much.
Before we let you go, what about a top 10 finish for Brendan Todd at the RSM? Two wins and a top 10 the last three events. Would Tiger do something out of the box and put the hottest player on the planet on his team?
Would he do it? I don't think so. Should he do it? I think absolutely. I don't think there's any question that you take a player that's hot. Isn't that the scenario that Tiger was under when he was taking himself after Zozo?
Yeah, absolutely. Good point. Well, thanks again for your time. That was Alex Maselli, founder and publisher of Morning Read. Always good talking to you. Take care, my friend.
Thanks, Bobby.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week.
So on behalf of our executive producer, Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bupka, a big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at the Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in the Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.